Well, I mean, Bucks in six. I mean,
what else was I supposed to say? We're going to lose and we're going to get swept? I mean, yeah, Bucks in six always. That's for the culture.
What's going on, Bucks fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Bucks Podcast. We want to welcome back Bucks fans, 90 countries strong, the best fans in the world, celebrating a championship like no other fan base has in quite some time. Led by the legend himself and Giannis and a few gold medalists in Chris and Drew, we're very excited for the show today because we're going to talk about the offseason. How should Bucks fans feel about the offseason? We're going to talk about free agency, the draft, trades, summer league, power rankings, all that good stuff. My name is KJ Eichstedt. I'm joined today by my co-host Alex. Alex, how's it going?
KJ, feeling great. You know, Bucks still champions. You know, Giannis doing great things out there in the world. The free agent class came together. The draft looks optimistic. And yeah, I'm excited to talk about the offseason. So thanks for having me, Bucks fans. Thanks for tuning in.
Bucks fans, thanks for joining us. You know, we've enjoyed staying connected with you guys. We've seen a lot of you guys connecting with the Twitter, Ike Bucks on Twitter. It's been good to, you know, keep the communication going with you guys. And, you know, a few podcasts here and there as well. It's always good to hear what you've been up to, how you've been celebrating, enjoying this summer, enjoying this Bucks championship. Really, you know, it's been a good summer. The Bucks capped it off by winning their ship. Giannis has been parading around Greece. It's been amazing. You know, he's got the trophy at the Acropolis. It's just funny because Giannis would take a picture like that, and I love it because
I love that he got to take the trophy.
It just encompasses all the fun he's having, right? You know, it's like Giannis is like, this trophy is important enough where it should probably be taking a picture in front of the Acropolis with it. And he just goes and does it and shares it with the fans. So that was kind of fun. But really, while everyone's been celebrating, Chris and Drew ended up going to the Olympics and really giving Team USA the boost they needed. Chris, you know, no doubt he was one of those guys that you wanted to have on the floor. And Drew Holiday, the story around
stole the
NBA, the
show.
And around the world is that this guy is one of the best defenders in the league. And
one of them. He is the best, Gage. I've never seen a guy on ball guard like that. I just haven't. He just makes it a complete nightmare for the offensive player the entire game. Evan Fournier for France, he was just smothered by Drew. And Drew, I think, has even taken the next step as a player himself over this playoff, now Olympic run. So, man.
You know, someone was saying it, the Bucks have taken a lot of pressure off themselves for this upcoming season, for this really just whatever. They can play loose. We know these guys have game. You know, Giannis has game. He's a back-to-back MVP. Chris Middleton has game. Some people call him the poor man's Kobe. We would second that. And Drew Holiday, I just want to take a moment to really
Sniper.
Just talk about how remarkable it is that this guy came into the league as a defense-first guard. You know, his offensive game wasn't really too developed, to say the least. And back in those days, like, you know, he was actually drafted pretty high. He was like a lottery pick. He was playing for Philadelphia, despite, you know, the shortcomings that probably never would have warranted him a shot in today's league. You know, I think about guys, the guy who was drafted by the Knicks, I'm blanking on his name, but basically he was that point guard who was from France. And
Frank
Chiellina, that's who it was.
Thanks
for reminding me. And, you know, I don't think if he was from France, he would have even been drafted in the first round. You know, it's kind of like that mystery intrigue. You know, he doesn't really have much offensive game, but he's got defense. And, like, Drew Holiday.
Worked out pretty good for the Bucks.
It worked out pretty well, and he must have worked tirelessly. Like, you hear about these guys, Ben Simmons, they can't even return a phone call. They can't even answer, you know, a text or whatever. They can't even make contact with their organization that's catered to them. You know, remember, Ben Simmons, I'm pretty sure he sat out his entire rookie year. So like, you know, he collecting a big paycheck, you like the very least you can do is work with your franchise if you do want to get a new destination. But really, you know, Drew Holiday is showing that there's hope to anyone looking to develop an offensive game, whether that's people in the NBA, whether that's people on the playground and anywhere in between. And also, you know, really just hard work pays off. It's just
super
fun to watch. He's getting his recognition for his defense. Alex, before we dive deeper, you know, Giannis's victory parade continuing in Greece. And Drew Holiday and Chris bringing home the gold. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, first on Giannis, I'm happy he got to go back to Greece, celebrate with those fans, you know, like you said, take that photo. But he's also doing big-time things on the side. He's actually offered accommodations in over 85 hotel rooms for 2 to 3 nights for people who are, you know, going through that that wildfire they have going on in Greece. So respect. Giannis helping out the community. He's just, you know, when he's walking through State Fair, Bucks fans, maybe you saw this. Giannis then came back and he was attending State Fair with his family. The man is just one of the people.
He's as real as it gets.
One of the people, as real as it gets. I saw one of you comment this. I don't know who it was, but one of you said, a once in a lifetime athlete.
It's true.
And he really is. It's just like you see so many signs of how he's so different from Ben Simmons. It's not even close, the type of character, you know, the type of story, the legacy. And so Giannis just continuing on his great, you know, his greatness as always, just in jaw-dropping of this guy. Cage, you saw the Culver's? Free food,
I mean, the
for
Culver's.
Giannis.
You know, you're in Milwaukee. You're planning on taking a late night drive to Culver's, getting some ice cream because it's just a beautiful night. And you pull in the parking lot, and what do you see? You see that Giannis Antetokounmpo gets free food for life, and they love Thanasis Antetokounmpo. I'm not going to say exactly which location it is, but it's just one of the nice Culver's in the Milwaukee area. And, you know, shout to Culver's for being a team player. Shout to Giannis for being a team player. Everybody Giannis wins. Let this be a lesson. Like, everybody wins when you're a team player. Drew wins.
Yep.
Chris wins.
The love goes
team
both
USA
ways.
USA wins. Giannis wins. His family wins. The Thanasis wins. You know, the Bucks win. The city wins. Culver's wins. It's just it's just an ecosystem of a rising tide raises all boats. And I love that quote. But it's really special. Giannis is in a world where, you know, there are certain levels of access.
Such a good role model.
That have been cut off by the, you know, these circumstances going on in the world. A lot of athletes have become less and less accessible. A lot of, you know, celebrities, or lack of a better term, have become less and less accessible through this, you know, last year and a half. Well, Giannis is just bucking the trends. You know, he's in a class of his own. He's a man of the people, like you said, Alex. So we're really thankful to have him.
Yep. Drew and Chris, though, let me get thankful. A little bit on Drew and Chris. Also yeah. Thankful for those guys. Drew, I mean, he really stole the show in the Olympics and proved that he's a big three member. Cage, you put him as 20th in your NBA top 20 rankings. Bucks fans, if you didn't see this, make sure to go check this out on Ike Bucks. Top 20 NBA players rankings in the NBA from Ike Bucks. That stirred up a lot of conversation, we'll say that. And Drew came in at number 20 on your list, KJ. And I think he kind of elevated himself into the level of one of those guys. Everyone's got respect.
It was really interesting because the one, you know, the three guys that I think were in consideration for 20 were like Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, and Drew Holiday. And you could compare all three of those guys. I think I might have slotted in, if I were to do the list over again, I might have slotted in Trae Young instead of Donovan Mitchell. Respect to Trae Young and respect to Donovan Mitchell. But Chris is obviously on the list. I think he's checks in at number 12 or 13. Drew is at 20. You know, Drew, he's a champion. He's a gold medalist. He changes the team. He's the best defensive point guard in the league. Also happens to be pretty good at offense as well. You know, so it's like, I feel confident putting him in there, and that was a lot of fun. You know, a lot of people were agreeing with the list, and a lot of people who were clearly, you know, not watching as much of the playoffs were also disagreeing with the list. It was a lot of fun. You know, it's always a lot of fun to banter on that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And you know who's number one on that list? Giannis Antetokounmpo. Best player in the world. But, back to Drew, one more thing I noticed during the Olympics was that Kevin Durant and the other players on Team USA were letting him bring up the ball. Like, he is kind of a floor general, the same way Giannis lets him bring up the ball. He's earned that respect. Yeah, and so, you know, think of kind of that confidence he's going to have going into next season. And his work ethic is super inspiring. He's a stand-up guy as well. Chris Middleton, just doing a lot of winning. Bucks fans, Chris Middleton, he won the NBA championship on a Tuesday, right? Tuesday night, Bucks and Six. everyone celebrates. Chris Middleton was probably out all night celebrating with Giannis and the team and his family. And then Wednesday, you know, he's probably still celebrating, just as Giannis was, probably off, no sleep, maybe crashes halfway through the day.
Well, Thursday, he was on a flight to Japan as well.
No, Thursday, he had to do the parade, the championship parade. So Chris Middleton, he was at the parade, and they were having fun at the parade. And then Friday, he, you know, Chris welcomes another person into his family. You know, his wife, his girlfriend had a baby. And so, and then he flies out on the Saturday to Tokyo for the Olympics.
And wins a gold medal.
And then he goes and wins a gold medal. Like, this guy
he'll sleep,
is just...
He'll sleep later.
And no one's going to give him any respect for it.
No, they're giving him mad respect. They're giving him mad love, and he deserves it. You know,
he deserves it. I'm so happy for Chris.
Top 12, top 13 for a reason. So back to free agency. That was when things started to get a little more real for Bucks fans. I think it was like the euphoric phase, you know, like cloud nine, just parading around the city. Just having
free agency kind of snuck up on us this year.
And then free agency starts, right? And the Bucks have a couple moving pieces. And the first domino to fall is our boy, Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis shunned anywhere from 18 to 20 some million dollars per year to re-sign with the Bucks on a massive discount deal. I believe it was like two years, 9 million. He's making like $4.5 million a year.
8.9.
It's an option. The second year is an option, so it's essentially a one-in-one deal. But guess what? Bobby Portis, really, a lot of people might say he's the main. Between him and Pat, the main guy off the bench in the second unit, man, I mean, like, he's back. Bobby's back. Shout out to Bobby. He wants to
win. And he's
going to
be balling.
He knows that money is not the most important thing in life, and that if he continues to win, more opportunities will come his way, as we kind of touched on
earlier. He's only 26 years old.
Bobby Portis has a bright, bright future. He's back. But at the same time, you know, a lot of Bucks fans were elated to see that. At the same time, unfortunately, Mr. P.J. Tucker was not brought back. No. And, you know, we've done a little bit of research on this. We've connected with a few people on this. And, you know, he signed a two-year $20 million deal in Miami. But let's just say that the owners would have had to pay a little bit of luxury tax. And in the end of the day, they did not do it. You know, we had a very, very...
I think he signed a $215 in Miami.
Or maybe he did. Yeah, I'd have to double check.
Yeah, because we're the Bucks sources never, said that if the Bucks had offered him 2 years 20, he would have taken it.
Yeah, he never would have actually offered that deal. We're not going to say who that is, but let's just say it was a player in the Giannis book. He's a player and a current player in the NBA, and he's in the Giannis book. You know, he's a very
well-respected guy.
But apparently the Bucks owners, you know, it would have been a luxury tax hit. And this is just what we're hearing. You know, we're not.
We don't know. This is just the news,
right? Bucks.
Yeah.
We're delivering you guys the news from a credible source, unbiased. Apparently, the Bucks owners didn't. You know, they brought back Bobby. Shout to the front office for doing that, but they didn't bring back PJ. And I think you could argue that it's even worse that he went to Miami. You know, like, I don't think the Bucks are going to have much trouble with Miami, but they're certainly going to have some trouble with Miami. You know, they definitely got stronger. The Bucks got weaker. I think it's safe to say that the Bucks don't win the championship without PJ Tucker. You know, if he wouldn't have gone toe to toe with Durant in that sequence, would the Bucks have come back and won that game? I don't know. Thoughts, Al? Initial thoughts. I have some more thoughts, but I'll let you go.
Bucks fans, think about PJ Tucker for a second. How good of a player you think he is? How well he played in the playoffs? He only averaged 2.6 points a game last season for the Bucks in the regular season, but his impact goes so beyond it. And Milwaukee has actually brought in Semi Ojeleye. So he's a power forward, you know, 6'6", kind of a small forward type guy. You've seen him on Boston, Brad Stevens player. He's 26 years old, so he's like a younger version. He's similar body type to P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker is 6'5", 245. Ojeleye's 6'6", 240, so a little taller, a little lighter.
Younger.
But he's 10 years younger. He's not 10 years younger. So what you're losing here, Bucks fans, is you're losing that, like,
a leader.
That leadership, that 10 years of experience of hunger and drive to know what it's like to fight through just a long career like P.J. Tucker and then finally win one, get his respect. And Ojulehi is bringing more athleticism and a younger frame. And he actually averaged 4.6 points a game and 2.5 rebounds. So similar type stats to P.J. Tucker.
Well, it's like, what do we
kind of envision they're going to be in the same role, but you're missing this 10 years of
You're missing the leader. That's what's walking out the door. You know, a dog, a true dog. Shout out to P.J. Tucker. Salute to P.J. Tucker. But what do we take from this? You know, essentially, the Bucks are going to be okay. Yeah, they preserved a little bit of salary cap maneuverability, you know, maybe a little more funds, a little bit of funds.
Mid-season move.
And they, you know, essentially replaced P.J. Tucker. You can't replace his intangibles, but the good news is, Bucks fans, is we'll be okay. Bryn Forbes is no longer with us, as many of us guessed that he wouldn't be.
Thank you, Bryn.
Thank you, Bryn, for your contributions. We wouldn't have, you know, had a sweep in the first round with the Heat if you wouldn't have gone off like that. So we want to shout to Bryn Forbes. He made a lot of big shots in that series. You know, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, that's the guy we got to bring back, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I think he's earned it. You know, just like P.J. Tucker, we wouldn't have won that game without him going, you know, nose-to-nose with Kevin Durant, inspiring the Bucks. Thanasis Antetokounmpo had an incredible block, and he had a couple of really nice plays. And just like his intangibles, if you lose P.J. Tucker and you lose Thanasis, that's like a double whammy blow for the Bucks.
The
in
word
terms of, like, leadership intangibles.
Inspiring? That's what Thanasis is. You know, he's inspiring, and so is P.J. Tucker. They inspire their teammates. And so already losing P.J., you cannot lose Thanasis. I think they'll bring him back. I think they're just probably working out, you know, maybe a longer-term deal. I think they're going to work out a longer-term deal because Giannis is a champion now, so there's some leverage in negotiations.
Why not? You know, like, yeah. I'd rather give Thanasis, like, a four-year, $4 million deal. Then give it to some other guy. You know, honestly,
me too. I would as well.
And I think until, you know, another option presents itself, like, I think you got to bring back Thanasis, if not just for the chemistry and the intangibles. We also brought in Rodney Hood. He's coming off an injury. Very, very, very intriguing player, Bucks fans. This guy actually played with Jabari. He was Jabari's running mate at Duke that year that Jabari was there. And he was a first-round pick to Utah. He's kind of one of these unique Joe Johnson-type frame 6'8 shooting guards. You know, you might even say he's a little similar to Chris in body type. And he's had some pretty nice years. You know, he's only 20. I think he's 28. Yeah, he is 28. And he's, you know, you wonder what he can give you because in his career he has averaged 17 points a game before. You know, he's a career 37% from three as a wing. Even though he's been atrocious, really the last two seasons. Actually,
I think he's coming off an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a complete black box. We'll see what we get out of Rodney Hood. Shooter could stretch the floor, could hit a couple threes. I don't see him playing in the playoffs.
Nothing at all.
That's what I said. I don't think he'd be a part of the playoff rotation either way. But someone who may be. Is George Hill. Bucks fans, George Hill is back. That's
George
interesting.
George Hill is back. That is definitely interesting. You know, so my biggest thing on George Hill, he's a great player, right? You know, he's a good shooter. He's a good, you know, he can kind of lead a team as in terms of like the point guard bringing the ball up in his role. The main thing about him is he's got to be focused on the goal, you know, and the goal here is to win multiple championships in this window. I think you got to win three championships in the next 5 years. I don't think that's an unreasonable goal, you know, and it's like, what does that require? It's like, maybe that requires 2 years where you're this close to the championship and it just doesn't work the Bucks way, right? But that means you have to be laser focused on a championship. If we can win multiple championships in this Giannis Supermax era, I think Giannis is going to be around the Bucks for his entire career, but you know, his prime is coming up 5 straight years. On the Supermax, core locked up. Let's get it done.
This is about
everybody
winning
just
as many
has to have.
Possible.
Yeah, everybody just has to have a laser focused, you know, goal of winning those championships. And it's like, you know, that when George Hill last played for the Bucks, that wasn't really the case, and I think that may or may not have played a reason in the Bucks deciding not to bring him back, or, you know, who knows? We're never going to find out the real answer on that, but really, it's almost like saying something that the Bucks won the championship the year after George Hill left, you know? So it's like, we'll see what happens. He's certainly not, it's not like he's not talented. It's like, will George Hill be part of this championship team, or will he take away from that? You know, it's honestly, it's a valid question. Alex, anything to add?
I think with George Hill, he played well in OKC. He was averaging nearly 12 points a game. But then he went to Philly, and his numbers weren't too hot. And George Hill is now going to be 34, 35 years old. I'm okay with the move as a backup point guard because the Bucks really needed a backup point guard. I'm okay with the move. I am not, I would say. I'm not, like, over the top with him being the guy that they brought in on the backup point guard. You know, thinking...
I was hoping for Patty Mills. He went to the Brooklyn Nets. That was tough. But, you know, George Hill, like you said, is a solid option. You know, he's a solid option.
He can play in the playoffs.
Well, we just talked about P.J. Tucker's intangibles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, even Thanasis' intangibles. We won a championship. Like, Bobby Portis' intangibles, you know?
Sam Merrill, who was like traded out. But all those guys were just such a gelling squad. This last year.
Gelling for sure, but like the focus, you know, all those guys, like PJ Tucker was like, look, man, I'm not here to come this far and lose. You know, like a championship is my 100% focus. And you could say the same about Bobby. You could say the same about Giannis, Chris, and Drew. You know, even Coach Bud knew he was gone if he didn't get this done.
and he's back, baby.
Shout to Coach Bud. He did. But it's like, that's the biggest question is we got to have that focus. And, man, I mean, Nick, he's a solid player. You know, he's a shooter. He can shoot from three. Mm-hmm. He can lead a team. Will he be, you know, laser focused on the prize as the rest of the team has been? As the rest
time
of the fan base
tell.
Has
time
been?
Time will tell.
Time will tell, Bucks fans. So
I would say in general,
closing thoughts on the free agent class, I think the Bucks did well. You know, I think we navigated. Like, keep in mind, Bucks fans, we get Dante DiVincenzo back.
Yep.
That's kind of like a, you know,
still
boost
got Pat.
Here. Still got Pat, still got Brooke Lopez.
Got Bobby.
You have Bobby. I would love to see them bring back Thanasis. We'll see what happens. But they also had a draft. The Bucks had the 31st pick in the draft, which ended up trading for the 54th overall pick, the 60th overall pick, and two future second-round picks. And a couple people were upset about this because, you know, 31 is actually a very, very, very valuable pick just because of the way the salaries are different from a second-round pick to a first-round pick. 31 allows contending teams, you know, to, like, basically sign them on contracts that aren't counting as against the salary cap in the way that a first-round pick would do. So when you have all these massive deals, like the Bucks have, you know, Drew Holiday's $160 million deal, Chris Middleton's got a huge deal.
You let him play with your second-round picks.
You know, you just got to get creative with the cap. And that's one thing that the Bucks saw an opportunity at 31. You can often get a first-round talent there, but they chose to trade it away, get some more assets. They ended up picking up two really solid players, Bucks fans. The good news is the Bucks drafted Sandro Mamukelashvili.
He looks amazing.
54th overall pick. He's a point center from Seton Hall. Played in the Big East. He was co-Big East player of the year. You know, he's played against some solid competition. He's from Georgia, which is the homeland of Zaza Pachulia. And Bucks fans, if you turn on the tape of this guy, you cannot help but see Nikola Jokic, in my opinion.
Well, Cage, who was that player that came out of Marquette Henry Ellenson. Henry Ellenson was a first-round pick, and if you watch the tape on Sandro, it's way better. It's much better. He is like a floor general out there. Already he was making some tremendous passes in summer league. I really love what this guy can do. He was no fluke. He averaged 17.5 points, 7.6 rebounds that usually translate. He was Big East player
handler.
Of the year.
He's a passer.
I can't believe he fell so long.
It's surprising. It's an age thing. You know, like, the NBA people are like, oh, he's over 16. You know, he's too old. they love the super young guys. But sometimes you can find, you know, as Malcolm Brogdon proved, you can find some great older players in the second round of the draft. The Bucks also picked up Kadine Nevezis. basically the Kolaitzakis, the forward from Greece, the 205-pound forward from Greece, played alongside Giannis, played with Panathinaikos, didn't really do much. The Bucks are bringing him over. They're actually using him on a unique deal that isn't a two-way deal. I think it's a three-year deal, and they're basically expecting this guy to, you know, maybe he's got some chemistry with Giannis. You know, they're expecting him to be like a roster guy here. But really, my takeaway from the draft is that the Bucks got a good one in Sandro. We'll see what happens with, you know, the young Greek forward they picked up. We'll see what happens. But really, they turned two future second rounders and Sam Merrill last year's draft pick into Grayson Allen. So there's more Bucks fans. The Bucks Grayson have Allen. Swung a trade. Grayson Allen, after having, you know, a pretty interesting career at Duke, has come, you know, kind of relatively out of nowhere under the radar to average 10.6 points a game for the Grizzlies, a pretty solid team who plays hard, plays offense and defense, and he's a career 38% shooter from three. So it's like this guy plays defense, he shoots the three, and he comes from a winning culture, and Duke and, you know, Memphis is a good culture, I would say.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The Bucks just bring in another really solid player. You know, he's 25
87% from the line, you know, 39% from three, Cage. He's going to be getting some looks with this Bucks team. And just another shooter, another guy like Pat. He's athletic. He can guard multiple positions.
Thank you, Sam Merrill. Thank you for your service. We're going to miss Sam Merrill. It was a little sad seeing him go, but if we keep it real, you know, how much would he have played in the playoffs?
He gets a chance to play now.
We'll see. He gets a chance to play. We wish Sam Merrill nothing but the best. Maybe he'll find his way back here someday. Not only that, Al, the Bucks have summer league going on, and Jordan Wara is lighting it up. 30-point games, shooting the ball, making passes, catch and shoot, off the dribble. He's got game. He's got confidence. He's got smarts. I like Jordan Wara a lot.
Yeah, he was balling for Nigeria. I mean, he's just one of these. He may be one of these guys who just is like a sponge. That's kind of what I feel like is kind of happening for Jordan Nwora, is he's having this sponge effect where being around all these great players, kind of like the Warriors were doing for a while, where they're just kind of just turning these guys on the end of their bench into solid players. Because when you're playing amongst greats and good players, you rise. You can't just get better. And so I think Jordan Nwora has been on this like great learning curve, and he's getting an opportunity to play, and he's obviously a good scorer. I brought up the fact that, remember when Thon Maker was like struggling in summer league, like his sophomore year, and Jordan Nwora has been balling in summer league. So if that says anything, I think he's a shooter. He's a good one.
He's much more than that. I think Bucks fans can be excited about Jordan Nwora this year. You know, it's going to be interesting because I don't expect the Bucks big three to play a ton in the regular season. You know, they're going to play. They're not going to take the regular season super seriously, in my opinion, because it is a long season. We'll see how that shakes out. But, Jordan Nwora, he's going to get it some minutes. Make no mistake about it. He's either turning himself into a trade asset on an affordable salary, or he's going to get some minutes. You know, he's going to push Dante to be better. He's going to push all these guys to be better, and that's exactly what the Bucks and championship teams need. So, Alex, any final thoughts on the Bucks' offseason moves? Did they get better? Did they remain the same? Or did they get worse?
I really think they should have just ponied up the money for P.J. Tucker. It's just so disappointing to not bring that guy back. But with that said, Bobby took a friendly deal, and that was what I hoped for, and he delivered. Bobby, he's a man of the people. He's a legend, so pumped about that. But I think in general, the Bucks have gotten better in the last 3 months or so. Like, more growth I've seen out of the Bucks players than any other team. They're so much different from what's going on in the NBA. Bucks fans, the Los Angeles Lakers have now assembled, once again, a super team with the hopes of trying to take down Giannis, Chris, and Drew Holiday. And it's like, sad. Here are the Bucks.
who have been orchestrated, small market, and play together for a long time. And then you look at, like, Brooklyn and Los Angeles, like, the leagues, the NBA's, like, somehow cheat codes because the salaries are just absurd on these teams. And
how it goes.
I still don't think they have the better rosters. So I feel confident. And that's where I stand. I still believe that the Bucks are going in ranked number one into the next season. So I'm feeling good. Cage, how do you? Any final thoughts for you on the offseason?
Yeah, you know, I think the Bucks did get better. Like you said, I wish they would have brought back PJ. In a perfect world, he would have come back for at least a year. Will the Bucks be okay? I think we will. We essentially picked up Dante. We picked up Grayson Allen. You know, Rodney Hood's all upside. We had a solid draft. We got more second rounders. You know, Jordan Nwora has elevated his trade value. Chris and Drew have become more accomplished and elevated their confidence and just everything. You know, I think the Bucks team is a net positive in the offseason. And we'll address the end of the NBA landscape right before we wrap up the show. But real quick, back to this list. I'm just going to read my list. And, Alex, you can let me know your thoughts. I'm going to read the top 20. So, number one, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Number two, Kevin Durant. Number three, LeBron James. He had a down year, but, you know, I think he can turn it on at times. Number four, Kawhi Leonard. Obviously, he's injured. When healthy, I wouldn't bet against him. Number five, Anthony Davis. Same deal. You know, disrespected. I definitely think Giannis is better. So I have Giannis at one, AD at number five. But Anthony Davis is a great player. I wouldn't sleep. Steph Curry at number six. You know, he's pretty respected there. Damian Lillard, probably the second best guard in the NBA, other than Steph Curry, in my opinion, right now. You know, you can make an argument for a few other guys, but I think Damian Lillard at seven. Number eight, this is kind of where it starts to get controversial. Paul George. I think Paul George had a, you know, he proved a lot in the playoffs this year by himself, kind of, you know, winning series and really just making an impact, showing a diverse game. He's definitely not perfect, but is he a top 10 player? I think so. Number nine, Chris Paul. You saw the culture change he's done around the league. Number 10, Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP. I just don't see him being, you know, in that elite tier of guys. I think Denver's kind of a pretender.
I believe
called it
as
before.
Well.
You know, they're kind of a pretender. This is nothing against Denver, but I just don't really believe in you if your best player is Nikola Jokic. I just think that's kind of a good story. You know, he's going to Denver, who don't often get stars. See Carmelo Anthony, he kind of forced his way out of there. But, you know, I think he's a top 10 player. I'll give him that respect. Number 11, you know, I think this is where it really started to outrage people. I put Luka Doncic at number 11. I don't think he's top 10 just because he hasn't really won anything outside of Spain yet. You know, he's won some individual stuff.
If you watch Luka, I just want to say, Bucks fans, we actually were firm believers that Luka should have been drafted number one overall, and we actually put that out on Ike Bucks a lot back in the day. So we were big believers in Doncic. But Ike's I've been blown away by the numbers he's put up. But at the same time, I don't know if I see a championship type franchise player like Giannis.
Because
his usage rate, you watch how he plays the game. The game is Lucas Doncic. It's his team, you know, it's his show. Mm-hmm. He kind of has this slow style of basketball, just like Harden, where he kind of just leans, you know, finds a little bit of space to get the shot off and then, like, hits his jumpers, gets to the line, and he's very skilled. He's very good at it.
Well, you got to play defense as well.
Is it championship ball? Can he really be a Giannis? I don't think so
until he proves otherwise. You know, he's a little chubby. I'm just going to say it. You know, I like Luka. I believe in Luka, but it's like, I don't know. Like, maybe that's just some people will be like, well, that's not nice. Well, it's like, look, I love Luka. I have mad respect for his game. He's a fearless guy on the court, and I love that, but it's like he doesn't play the best defense, and that's what you need to win, and that's why he's 11. James Harden, number 12. I'm just not a big believer in Harden. I think his game is kind of can't really win with that. So it's like, okay, if you leave in
rules
stats,
are changing.
If you leave in stats and the rules are changing, he's not going to like that. Chris Middleton, number 13. I think Chris is a top 13 player. I have him slightly above Devin Booker at number 14. Kyrie Irving, number 15. So it's like, and Bradley Beal, number 16. So there's a ring of
have really shooters. Five guards, like scorers, kind of like yeah. tier two of guards. If tier one of guards in the league is Steph and Damian, you know, Lillard, maybe tier two is, you know, Chris Paul, James Harden, Chris Middleton, Devin Booker, Kyrie Irving, and Bradley Beal. And then maybe tier three is, you know, Donovan Mitchell, Jrue Holiday, and Trae Young. So to round out my 20, I have Bradley Beal at 16, Joel Embiid at 17, Jason Tatum at 18, Donovan Mitchell at 19th, and Jrue Holiday at 20. Alex, any thoughts on the list?
I love it. I love the list. But I think the one thing to me that stands out, right, is this Anthony Davis question. He's always been one of these players who he's a winner. He won in Kentucky. He dominated.
I mean, except New Orleans.
Kentucky. You know, but then on New Orleans. No, that was going to be my point, is that then there's the New Orleans situation about AD, where he kind of forced his way out, kind of had his, you know,
clutch sports,
his asterisk on his, you know, career, but he's still an insanely talented player. Like, I think people sleep on AD because he's not really that outspoken. The bra has never been, at least in my opinion, like too much of a showman.
And no, he's not.
He's a good player, and I think I think maybe five would be a little high for me. I probably drop him a little bit down. I think Curry's above him. I do think Lillard. I think he's a tremendous player. Yet to see the winning. You know, I would put mm-hmm. him below Chris Paul. Actually, I think Chris Paul proved it on OKC, and I think he's proved it on the Suns that he's a big time difference maker. This is a question for you, Bucks fans. Would the Suns have made the NBA Finals if you swap Paul and Lillard?
I mean, I think a lot of Bucks fans would say yes, just like, oh, Lillard's so good. And you could believe it. You could believe it, but it's like, man, you don't know until he does it. And I just want to say, like, this needs to be addressed. National media, ESPN, actually broke a false fake news story saying that Damian Lillard and his camp have been in touch with, like, several teams. And they're trying to, like, you know, Giannis signed the Supermax, he's staying, like, you know,
trying to get him out.
Staying. You know, they're trying to get Lillard out of Portland. It's very messed up. It's important people are understanding this. And then Lillard came out and, like, discredited the story. He's like, no, that's completely false. And so ESPN then has to issue, like, a retractment correction, which obviously doesn't really do much after you've already gotten the clicks. It's kind of, once again, it's not good integrity.
No one ever sees the retraction.
It's not good for anybody, right? And basically, you know, ESPN is just planting false narratives trying to get Damian Lillard out of Portland. And we can definitely empathize with what Portland's going through, because he did commit to Portland with the Supermax despite all the noise that's always been over there. People have always wanted to get him out of there because he's like an alpha dog, you know, ball-handling shooter who can hit huge shots. And, you know, it's just disappointing. Like, we've come to expect this from ESPN. You know, keep your eyes open, Bucks fans. If, you know, they're not your friends, they're trying to tell you that Giannis is going to leave. That was complete baloney. We made sure to keep it real when it came to Giannis at all times.
Giannis doesn't even give that attention. That's the best part. He never shows these clowns any attention.
He had never once made any indication he was going to leave, and guess what? He resigned. You know, and so it's like national media is pulling their tricks. They're pulling their tricks right now with Damian Lillard. You can bet when before Chris signs his extension, they're going to try and say some stuff about him. But the good news is Chris ain't going anywhere. He's going to sign with the Bucks for a while. We still have him on a two more years plus a player option. So we have time. Don't worry, Bucks fans. But yeah, you know, I think that the NBA landscape, the Bucks have three top 10 players.
I got a team I want to ask you about, Cage.
Go for it.
Chicago Bulls. They got Zach LaVine. They're bringing in Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball is going to probably be the other guard starting alongside Zach. And then they also brought in DeMar DeRozan. Score. And I think they have Vucevic from Orlando.
Well, here's what I like about the Bulls. You know, I don't know if it's going to work, But in today's NBA landscape, you need guards, right? It used to be maybe the big man. Rewind 10 years, rewind 20 years, you need big men. You know, if you had just guards, your team would get annihilated in the playoffs.
Well, now it used to be a post battle.
Now it's like you need guards, otherwise your team's going to get annihilated in the playoffs. So it's like, even though Chicago's not a playoff team, even though I think Zach LaVine has a lot of those same characteristics as Luka Doncic does in terms of high usage rate, high level offense, but, you know, minimal defensive effort, and it hasn't quite translated into a lot of wins yet. You know, you could say the same thing about DeRozan. Like, you know, he probably gives effort on the defensive end. He's got like a mid-range game, so that'll translate to the playoffs. He'll get buckets. How he'll do in the regular season, who knows? Lonzo is kind of like, I think he got a deal that's adequate for his skill set. Like, he's not a max player, but he got an okay deal. He does bring the defense and a little bit of offense. So
yeah,
I'm just interested to see what Chicago does. You know, I think they have a nice trio of guards that have different games, like differentiating games. Not the same type of player. It's not like they're adding like a, you know, a James Harden to like a Kyrie and KD. You know, I mean, personally
Adam
don't think
Silver
that's
letting
most,
that go through. Is just,
I personally, I'm not even tripping about that. I just don't think it's like the most cohesive big three. Like the Bucks big three are all different. Even Phoenix is a team of very like cohesive players, and they're in the finals as well. You know, so we'll see. We'll see. That's kind of That's kind of my thoughts on Chicago, and I'm just going to read off my NBA landscape, how I view the NBA power rankings post-free agency, post-draft. I think it's Milwaukee Bucks, cream of the crop, number one. I think Brooklyn Nets are number two, as we've kind of said before. There's not really anyone who has done anything to basically surpass the Bucks or the Nets. I think Phoenix is number three. I think the Lakers are number four. I think Phoenix could potentially drop, though. I think the Clippers, hopefully Kawhi gets healthy, will be number five. We'll see what happens if, you know, depending on how long he's out. I think the Jazz are six. I don't know if they're a contender. I think they're more of a pretender. I think Atlanta is seventh. I think they have more upside than the Jazz, though. I think Denver's eighth. I think they're also a pretender, although they do have guards. I think Miami Heat are nine. You know, I think they beat the Jazz, the Hawks, the Nuggets, but we'll see. And then there's number 10, Golden State Warriors, who, believe it or not, I don't think they're going to get another ring. I really don't. Like, maybe they will
Should
one day.
Should be interesting
but,
to see how the Warriors do coming back.
Yeah, I think that's kind of done. I think it's done. I think, especially with the NBA kind of taking away these unique contact fouls, I think it's a great move. That's not going to help Steph Curry. You know, he does it like the best of them. A lot of NBA fans know this. He'll draw some contact. To say the least, and Klay Thompson does it, you know. They're a top 10 team. They're a top 10 team.
Bottom of that top 10.
I think you honestly have five contenders in the NBA, and maybe four, depending on what the Clippers do. I think it's the Bucks, the Nets, the Suns, and the Lakers. We'll see what happens.
Kawhi, can't sleep on Kawhi. If he's healthy, he's dangerous. And so I think the NBA, it's always prime entertainment, and the Bucks just leading the pack right now. I feel great. I feel great, Bucks fans. You know, let us know how you feel the first offseason as a champion. And we just want to say thank you for listening. It was a tremendous ride. The championship run. Maybe you've been wondering, like, what is next? Sometimes KJ and I will talk about this. Like, man, it just seems like, you know, we're post-championship era now, just as we thought we would be, and it's a different type of new beginning.
We're
so
not
I'm
post-championship
excited.
Era. We're just you're saying we're post-NBA championship season. You know, it's like it's going to come back. Yeah. There's going to be another season, and it's going to be exciting. You know, the Bucks. We're getting listeners from over 90 countries. Just want to thank everyone for showing tremendous love. It's been humbling. We didn't think, you know. When we first started this podcast, we didn't think 90 countries would listen to this podcast. You know, it's super cool. People in USA, Australia, United Kingdom,
international
Greece,
brand,
Canada, Ireland, Norway, Mexico, Germany, Philippines, Spain, St. Lucia, Brazil, Sweden, Denmark, Netherlands, South Africa, Hong Kong, New Zealand, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Puerto Rico, Israel, Taiwan, Nigeria, India, Jordan, Argentina, Ghana, Switzerland, Iraq, Malaysia, Italy, France, Cyprus, Russia, UAE, Ecuador, Haiti, Vietnam, Serbia, Morocco, Turkey, Finland, Kenya, Singapore, Hungary, Portugal, South Korea, Uganda, Japan, Jordan, Somalia, Romania, Cuba, Lebanon, Myanmar, Bangladesh, Gambia, Bulgaria, Thailand, Chile, Indonesia, Antigua and Barbuda, Sao Tome and Principe, Georgia, shout out to Sandro, shout out to Zaza, Moldova, Belgium, Colombia, Guyana, Liberia, Qatar, Burkina Faso, China, Djibouti, Ethiopia, Latvia, Libya, Syria, Tanzania, Togo, Tunisia, Ukraine, the Dominican Republic, Egypt, Guadeloupe, Kuwait, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Peru, and the Czech Republic. Bucks fans, I'm out of breath. I'm out of breath. There's so many countries. It's crazy. We're thankful.
You're doing great.
No matter where you're tuning in from, we just want to say thank you. You have a great, safe space. You can come talk Bucks here. No matter what you think, no matter what you want to say, get it out. We're gonna check it out. You know, like, it's a great space to talk Bucks. Yeah. It's a great community. It's a great group of people, friends, you know. It's just a good place. You know, this is a lot of legitimate Bucks talk happens, a lot of real talk happens, and you guys are the reason for it. You know, you guys, you girls all around the world and America and beyond, it's just special, and you deserve a big pat on the back. So shout out to everyone listening to this podcast.
Deer District experience, you know, yeah.
Just the Deer District. It.
The fans the parade. Are just one of a kind in this league.
We will never forget the Deer District and the parade and just all this run. And the good news is, Bucks fans, is we have an entire window of contention. So don't go anywhere.
We're
going
to do it again, baby.
We're going to do it again. Just like Giannis said, he's hungry. Alex, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon. Thanks, Bucks fans. Until next time, we're out.
Be the deer.
I got a feeling you don't like this. I got a feeling that